Today's passage is James chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Yesterday's passage, the first part of chapter 2, was on not showing partiality. Remember, James gave an example of how we are not to favor the man in fine clothing over a poor man in shabby clothing if they both come into our church assembly. Why? Because from verse 5, "Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him?" Because God loves the poor in the world just as much as the rich, we are to love the poor in the same way. We are to love people regardless of how much they have. In today's passage, James continues on this instruction to love those around us and not show partiality. He writes in verse 8 that if we really fulfill the royal law in Scripture, which is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," we are doing well. This law was first given by God to his people in the Old Testament, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And Jesus, in Matthew 22, says, "After loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, this is the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself." However, in verse 9, if we show partiality, that means we are not living up to that law, and therefore we are transgressors. Same reasoning as yesterday's passage. Showing partiality makes us judge us with evil thoughts, which of course God does not intend for us to be. James builds off of this logic that partiality is sin and goes to show just how serious it is. Verse 10, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it." And then in verse 11, he names the sins of adultery and murder, and how committing one of those sins, but not the other, means one has broken the whole law. It doesn't matter if you obeyed the rest of the law. If you broke part of the law, you broke all of it. His point is that showing partiality is just like that. If a man does not love his neighbor, it means he has broken the law of God. It's that serious. If you are like me, you may be thinking, "Whoa, James, that seems like a big jump from partiality to murder and adultery. I just let this person with nicer clothes sit in a better chair than this person with shabby clothes. Yeah, I kind of judge them, but it's not that bad, right?" James says it is a big deal. And thinking about it more, it's consistent with the rest of the word. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, went over this before, and I'm sure James heard Jesus teach this several times. As recorded in Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And then just a few verses later, Jesus gives an example of fulfilling the law versus breaking the law. He says, "You have heard it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders is liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. In this example, harboring anger on the inside, even without action on the outside, is sin, just as murder is. Likewise, showing partiality on the inside is also sin. Because at the root of partiality is a worldview of I am the judge, and it's about me, instead of loving God and loving our neighbor. Given the seriousness and weight of partiality, then, James gives the encouragement in verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. In other words, live knowing you are under the law. And as he calls it in other places, it's the law of liberty, one where we've been shown mercy by Jesus and able to live free from our sin. The last verse, 13, reminds the readers that judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. The price of disobedience, of not showing mercy and love to those around us, is great because we have been shown mercy first. Mercy triumphs over judgment, since Jesus has poured out tremendous mercy instead of the judgment we deserved on our own. So the only sensible thing to do, the only right thing to do, is to extend mercy to others to fulfill this law of liberty. Let's examine how we are loving our neighbors in light of this big picture. Love for our neighbor is possible because of the love we have received from Jesus. And a lack of love, a lack of mercy, is very serious because it's not in line with the love we have received from Jesus. Can we think about a relationship that God has given us and examine where our hearts are? Do we need to repent in ways that we have judged that person or simply have not loved them in a neighborly way? In my life, I have a coworker who I find it difficult to work with sometimes. And I need to repent of ways that I've started favoring others over him and ways that I've judged his actions. Just because we have different views on how to work on our project doesn't mean I can ignore God's law to love him as myself. I realize from this passage and through prayer that I need to repent of my attitude and act in light of the mercy that I've been shown by God. Perhaps it's a specific person who God has brought to mind, or even a group of people who we have thought poorly of. With our country being in a time of self-examination with regards to racism and systems of inequity, as Christians, we should be on the forefront of examining our hearts and repenting for sins of racism or judging others. Let's remember God's heart for other people and how we are not that different from them and that we need God's mercy too. Let's speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty, and let's seek to fulfill God's law today by his help. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and we surrender our hearts to you. I pray that you would help us to view our neighbors as you would have us to view them in light of the mercy that you've shown us and the mercy you show them as well. And God, help us to really love our neighbors and not show partiality. God, I pray that for the relationships that you brought to mind where we need your love, God, I pray that we would take this seriously and you would put it on our hearts to really love them and to change the way we act towards that person or that group of people. Lord, give us your compassion, give us your love, and help us to again remember the tremendous mercy you've shown to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.